Woven through the readings today is the deeply biblical image of the shepherd. From the first reading, we hear the prophet chastising those who are in positions of authority, leadership, who are not like good shepherds. Psalm 23, which we sang just a few moments ago, declaring that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And the gospel, Jesus looking with pity upon those who had gathered there, seeing that they were like sheep without a shepherd. In places in Scripture, Jesus speaks about himself being the good shepherd, the one who lays down his life for the flock. Now, this isn't a suburban community, so I know that many people are very familiar with caring for animals. And certainly right now with the 4-H fair beginning, I'm sure that there are some parents who are kind of done caring for the animals and ready for them to be sold. While we may know something about animals, our understanding of the ancient world's shepherd is a little bit further removed. For example, at the end of the day, the shepherd would drive the sheep into a place to protect them overnight. And this was either a small cave, if it was available, and if not, a rustic paddock that would have been built in the field, piling stones on stone, forming the shape of a circle, and having a small gap as a gateway. But the opening, either in the paddock or the cave, did not have a real gate. After the shepherd would drive his flock into this protective enclosure, the shepherd literally would lay down on the ground and sleep there, using his body as a gate and a protection from predators. When Jesus says that the good shepherd lays down his life for his flock, the people in the ancient world would have seen that visual image. Perhaps maybe to update our phrasing a little bit, we might say that what Jesus is speaking about, what the prophet Jeremiah spoke about, and even what the psalmist says, is a question of leadership. That might be a more modern word for us to use in this case. One of the crises that faces our modern world, not that we have a lack of them, but one of them, I think, is a crisis of leadership. It's not hard to find articles in the news about some business person who's been caught doing something illegal or misleading his company or abusing his employees. And certainly we have seen time and again political leaders that lack integrity and character. And even over this past year and a half or so, leaders in medical and scientific communities have contradicted each other, sometimes even themselves. It's hard to find good leaders. The church is not immune from this either. In fact, some of the worst examples of leadership have been seen in the church. Almost 20 years ago, the Boston Globe broke the sex abuse scandal in the church, and as angry as that has made so many people, the anger over the cover-up and transfer of priests who have done these things burns white hot in the minds and hearts of many. Even apart from that, the subsequent financial struggles that many parishes and dioceses have faced, and even the lack of fidelity in some of our Catholic agencies that joyfully raise money from devout Catholics and then spend it on things contrary to what we believe. It's easy in my mind at least to think of two of them. The Catholic Campaign for Human Development, which every year has a second collection at Mass, and the money goes to things that are completely contrary to what we believe. The second being Catholic Relief Services, caught time and time again distributing artificial birth control in third world countries, contrary to what we believe, and yet calls itself Catholic. The crisis of leadership runs deep in our current society. What are we to do about it? It certainly is difficult to think about good leadership when we have so few examples that we can see. When I was growing up, one of the most important things in my life was my time spent in Boy Scouts. It was one of the most formative experiences that I had growing up. And to this day, being an Eagle Scout is one of the things that I am most proud of accomplishing. I mean, more so being a priest, but Eagle Scout ranks up there too. And in my years spent in the Boy Scouts, I've seen plenty of good leaders and plenty of questionable leaders. And I always looked at the Boy Scouts as an organization that held fast to their core values, their message of virtue and character. And even they have struggled in these last few years. When I was in the Boy Scouts, there were over 4 million registered Boy Scouts in the United States. Today, there's less than 600,000. The crisis of leadership seems to be everywhere. So what are we to do? Well, one of the other things that helped form me when I was growing up was a practice that my family had. Every morning, while we were having breakfast, there was a large, thick book on the kitchen table called The Lives of the Saints. And every day while we were eating breakfast, we would look up who the saints' feast day it was that we were celebrating that day. And we would read the summary of their life. For some saints, it was just a few sentences. For others, just a couple of paragraphs. But day after day, year after year, reading the stories of the lives of the saints set an example for us. I would propose to you there is no better school of learning, leadership, virtue, character, integrity than to know the stories of the lives of the saints. We heard stories like St. Ignatius of Loyola, who founded the Jesuits, and in just a few short years had trained and organized missionaries who went off to the far reaches of the known world and led to the conversion of thousands. Or St. Teresa of Avila. Her religious community had been around for a long enough time that it needed to be reformed. She was elected into a leadership position in her religious community, and yet so many of them refused the reform that was necessary to return to the ideals of Carmel. She was persecuted in her reform, but ultimately successful. And the Carmelites, in large measure, thrive today, while I hope that there is a new Ignatius to lead the Jesuits to a better place. The lives of the saints can teach us virtue, character, integrity, leadership, holiness. They can guide us in our decisions and our conduct and our way of life, whether it comes to being a leader in our own family, our parish, the church, the community. We need strong, virtuous leaders. And the school of leadership by the saints can help us to achieve that. I would encourage you to go to St. Joseph's shop and to buy a big, thick book about the lives of the saints and look it up every day and read it. And you can do that, but I also want to say there's an app for that. It's as simple as downloading an app on your phone, and it'll tell you exactly who the saint of the day is and give you a summary of their life. I would encourage you to make it a habit to read the lives of the saints every day. It doesn't take long. The summaries are oftentimes only a few short paragraphs. But day after day and year after year, being immersed in the lives of the saints can teach us how to live our life as Catholics, how to live our lives with integrity and character and virtue and holiness, and how to be able to help lead others to that too. We are called to be Catholic Christian leaders in the world, the light of the world, the salt of the earth. To be able to bring the light of the gospel to the world in the circumstances of our own individual life It could be something as seemingly mundane as being the leader in the family. Not mundane at all. It's how God established it to be, that the family is the cornerstone of all of civilization. To be a leader in our school and parish, to be a leader in our local community, to be a leader in the workplace, whether you have an official title or not, it doesn't matter. People yearn for leadership. They learn to be shown how to live a good and holy life. And after all, our baptismal vocation is to preach Christ to a world so desperately in need of knowing that they are loved and valued. The lives of the saints can inspire and teach us how to do that. The last words of Mark's gospel appointed for today are words that should strike us with a bit of sorrow. That when Jesus disembarked, Mark said, and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them. As Christians, do we look out over the world and our community and see people who are like sheep without a shepherd, and are our hearts moved with pity for them? It says that he began to teach them many things. That is to show them God's infinite love for them, and that there is conversion, holiness, and ultimately eternal salvation. Because of our baptism, our confirmation, our participation at the holy sacrifice of the Mass, we have been chosen by God to participate in the mission of Christ. It's a mission that involves leadership. It's a mission that involves character and integrity. It's a mission to bring Christ to the world. Read the lives of the saints, and they will teach us how to bring Christ to the world.